Muharram is the first month in the Islamic calendar. And when Allah Ta'ala describes the 12 months of the year in Surah At-Tawbah, Allah Ta'ala says, Minha arba'atun hurumun. Allah Ta'ala mentions that four of them are sacred. Four of these months are sacred months. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam clarifies which months these are in Sahih Bukhari when he says they are Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hijjah, Wal Muharram, Wa Rajab. So yes, we are living in one of the sacred months designated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why is this the case? Well, wallahu ta'ala a'lam, it seems to be the case because this is the beginning of the year. It's the first month of the Islamic calendar. We finish the year with Dhul Hijjah. What a beautiful way, khitamuhu misk, and it's ending in the best way, subhanAllah, with Hajj. And then we begin with this blessed month of Muharram. And we want to start this year with worship. As the Prophet says what? أَفْضَلُ الصِّيَامِ بَعْدَ رَمَضَانَ شَهْرُ اللَّهِ الْمُحَرَّمِ. The most excellent of fasts after Ramadan is in Allah's month of Muharram. This is a blessed month, the start of a new year. And scholars differ. Does this mean that you should try to fast throughout the entirety of the month, as many days as possible, or is it only specific to Ashura, the 10th day of Muharram? But the fact that the Prophet ﷺ is describing this month as the month of Allah shows that it's a blessed month. Why? Because you get a fresh start. Even in the Western world, they call this what? A New Year's resolution. Try to start something fresh. Try to start new. And why begin with the worship of fasting particularly? Allahu a'lam, but it seems to be perhaps the case because you want to begin with discipline. I mean, even, again, in the Western culture here, what do you find? They say, I want to have a New Year's resolution and I have certain things that I want to discipline myself with. I'm going to start this, that, and the other. And so, subhanAllah, where are they getting this from? SubhanAllah, the Prophet ﷺ teaching us 1400 years ago that start the new year with what? With fasting. Why? Because that's discipline. And that's going to start your year on the right foot, inshallah ta'ala. So yes, and another important point is this. When you start something fresh, you want to let go of the past. And how beautiful is it that the Prophet ﷺ says what? Siyamu yawmi ashura. إِنِّي أَحْتَسِبُ عَلَى اللَّهِ أَنْ يُكَفِّرَ السَّنَةَ الَّتِي قَبْلَهُ. That fasting on the day of Ashura, I hope and I expect that it will expiate for the sins of the previous year. So again, you're beginning this new year, you're starting with discipline, and inshallah ta'ala with this fast, what are you doing? بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, you have the whole year's worth of sins. Minor sins, of course. Major sins you have to make tawbah for. But still, in terms of the minor sins, in terms of all the little mistakes that we have made, inshallah ta'ala, they all get washed away because of this fast, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ ta'ala. This idea, this concept of fasting during Ashura, the 10th day of Muharram, was something that was established even before the Bi'tha, even before the revelation, the Prophet ﷺ becoming a prophet. As Aisha says, رَضَ عَنْهَا in Sahih Bukhari, كَانَ يَوْمُ عَشُورَى تَصُومُهُ قُرَيْشِ فِي الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ. They used to fast on this day. And it was also the day that what? وَكَانَ يَوْمًا تُسْتَرُ فِيهِ الْكَعْبَةِ. It was the day they used to cover the Kaaba and put a fresh new drape over it. This was a custom. And this was something that the Prophet ﷺ continued. Why? Because it's teaching us that not every custom, just because it comes from disbelievers, it doesn't mean that every single one of them necessarily is wrong. This is something that the Prophet ﷺ continued on, and it was actually obligatory for the believers to fast on the day of Ashura until the month of Ramadan became obligatory, and then Ashura became a recommended fast. Some say that the Quraysh were following in the footsteps of our beloved prophets, alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, and Ismail alayhi salam, and Allah knows best. But we do know that when the Prophet salam arrived in Medina, he saw that the Yahud were fasting on this day, and he asked them why. And they said, هَذَا الْيَوْمَ الَّذِي أَظْهَرَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ مُوسَى وَبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ عَلَى فِرْعَوْنَ فَنَحْنُ نَصُومُهُ تَعْظِيمًا لَهُ. That they said, we fast on this day because it is the day upon which Allah Ta'ala granted victory to Musa alayhi salam and the Israelites over Fir'aun. And so we fast on this day to honor it. And so the Prophet ﷺ said in response, something that should always ring in our minds as believers, inshallah ta'ala, the Prophet ﷺ responded, what? نَحْنُ أَوْلَى بِمُوسَى مِنْكُمْ. We are more connected and more deserving. We have more of a right to Musa alayhi salam than you do. And so this is why we fast on that day, and it's even recommended to fast on the day before it, the 9th of Muharram as well. As the Prophet ﷺ said, فَإِذَا كَانَ الْعَامَ الْمُقْبِلِ inshaAllah. Sumna al-yawm al-tasi'. The Prophet ﷺ said that if I see next year, if I live to next year, I'm going to fast on the 9th and the 10th. Why? This is an attitude that is being instilled within us, which is what? The attitude of never being outdone, never being outshined. You should have to say to yourself, how can somebody who is doing good deeds for the sake of a wrong belief, not for the sake of Allah, in misguidance, how can they be more passionate than I am, knowing that I am doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What I'm doing is, inshallah ta'ala, accepted. What I'm doing is on the right path. What I'm doing is, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, going to set me towards paradise. How could I ever be outdone? And so the Prophet here and in many other places is teaching us what? This important lesson of never being outdone, subhanAllah. So what are some of the lessons that we learn from this day of Ashura? Well, number one, as hopefully you're getting, and I'm hopefully being clear about this, this is what? A fresh start. It was a fresh start with Musa alayhi salam and Bani Israel. They were, imagine, you could imagine people that are captives living in bondage and slavery. And subhanAllah, now, because of this miracle of being freed from by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Fir'aun, from the tyranny of Fir'aun, subhanAllah, Allah ta'ala miraculously frees them, and now they get to have a fresh start. Just like what? Every single year we should feel like, subhanAllah, this is a whole new year, and this is a whole new fresh start. So this is a reminder to us that I'm going to fast, I'm going to glorify Allah, I'm going to praise Allah, I'm going to establish this year with discipline, and this is a fresh new year where I can start new habits, inshallah ta'ala, through discipline. But point number two, what we can learn, is that we need to trust in Allah. This is a crucial lesson that we learn from this incredible story. You have to know that Allah Ta'ala can get you through, get you out of seemingly impossible circumstances. As we know that Allah Ta'ala has brought you this far, and therefore you should not feel that He's going to abandon you the rest of the way. If Allah Ta'ala brought you to life, if you are here right now, healthy, alive, if you are in this life and you still, mashallah, you're in the masjid, you still have a chance to turn back, to make tawbah, if you have been brought this far, then why would you ever doubt that Allah Ta'ala is going to take you the rest of the way? And this is personified, or you could say this is demonstrated in the story of Musa alayhi salam. When he was standing, on one side you have the water, and behind them they have Fir'aun and his army on the way coming to kill them. And the believers were shook. The believers saw that giant army, huge in number, well-trained, knowing that they had equipment, whereas the believers had none, and they said what? فَلَمَّا تَرَى الْجَمْعَانِ When the two groups, they saw each other. قَالَ أَصْحَابُ مُوسَى That the companions of Musa alayhi salam said what? إِنَّا لَمُدْرَكُونَ Indeed, we're going to be overtaken. This is it, we're done. What was Musa alayhi salam's response? Even before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends revelation of what to do, he already knew that I'm not abandoned. What was his response? Before receiving any instructions, any revelation, he says what? قَالَ كَلَّا إِنَّ مَعِيَ رَبِّي سَيَهْدِينَ He says, no way, absolutely not. Indeed, my Lord is with me, and He will guide me. Allah Ta'ala brought me this far, I will not be abandoned moving forward. This is before the revelation came as to what to do. And then Allah says what? فَأَوْحَيْنَا The fa here, لِتَعْقِيبِ Like after that, therefore, now that he had that firm iman and confidence, then Allah says, then we revealed to him. Then we let him know exactly what to do. فَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى مُوسَى أَنِ اضْرِبْ بِعَصَاكَ الْبَحْرِ فَانْفَلَقَ فَكَانَ كُلُّ فِرْقٍ كَالطَّوْدِ الْعَظِيمِ Then we inspired and we revealed to Musa alayhi salam, strike the sea with your staff, and it parted, and each portion was like a great towering mountain. What is the lesson here? In addition to the fact that we should be remembering that we have a fresh start, remembering to trust in Allah, lesson number three is what? You have to do your part. You have to do your part. What do I mean by this? Allah Ta'ala could have miraculously picked them up and moved them to the other side of the water. Allah Ta'ala could have made a storm just pick up the enemies and destroy them. And they could have just sat there watching the whole time. SubhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala tells Musa alayhi salam, you do your part. You strike the water. When you strike the water, what happens with a stick? You see it split in half, right? You see the water shoot out to both sides. So there was a split. But SubhanAllah, is that enough to send the people through? Not at all. You do your part. You hit the water. You split the water. But I'm going to put the blessing in it. I'm going to put in the barakah so that it keeps splitting and keeps splitting and keeps splitting to the point that it'll stay there and you can walk right through. SubhanAllah, what does this imply? You do your part. You put in your effort. You try. No matter how small you are, no matter how weak you may seem to be, Allah Ta'ala can do the rest. This is reminiscent of the hadith Qudsi in which Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala tells us what? وَإِذَا أَتَانِ يَمْشِي أَتَيْتُهُ هَرْوَلَةً That Allah Ta'ala says in this hadith Qudsi that when my slave comes to me walking, I rush towards him. You make a little bit of effort, I'll make a lot of effort. You try just a little bit and I will do the rest, subhanAllah. But the sincerity has to be there and the effort has to be there. And then what happens next? After the striking of the water, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala miraculously lifted the sea up into two halves so that the righteous could separate themselves from the wicked. Why? Why did Allah Ta'ala choose this particular miracle? What is the lesson in there? Allah Ta'ala a'lam, Allah knows best, but perhaps it's a reminder to humanity as well that we too are made of water, are we not? 70% roughly made of water. And we, as humans, are all intermixed together. Right? In the same room, you may have good people, bad people, people that have great hasanat, some people who have terrible sayyat. You have no idea. We don't know our scales. We can't see them. It's like our bank accounts. We don't know how much is in it. It's not visible. Subhanallah. So we're all mixed together and we're all made of water as well. But guess what? We all will die. And we will miraculously be raised up as well. And also in two separate groups, the righteous and the wicked, so that the righteous can flourish, just like Bani Israel. They were, everything was opened up and separated so that they could go forward and they could, what? Flourish. And so that the wicked may perish. So that the wicked could enter into it and then it collapses on them and they were all killed. So in a similar way, on Judgment Day, we will all be separated. We're all mixed together now, but we're all going to be separated into our two different camps so that the believers may flourish and so that the wicked can be damned to hell. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. So what is the lesson here? The fourth lesson is that Judgment Day is coming. So we have to ask ourselves, how are we preparing for that day? And which group do I belong to? And why? What have I done to belong to the group of the believers? What have I done to make sure that I'm part of that group? And inshallah ta'ala, we will continue in the second khutbah. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman katheera. Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. Yes, indeed, the believers celebrate when Allah Ta'ala has miraculously saved a group of believers and we want to celebrate that day. But we can't forget what happened afterwards. And what happened afterwards is something very scary. And the reason I say that is because, of course, Bani Israel, as believers, they were thinking to themselves, what? If only we could be free, then we would be better. If only we could get away from this tyranny. If only I had more free time. If only I had more money, then I would be better. And then, subhanAllah, they were put to the test. Okay, here's your freedom. Now, what are you going to do with it? A'udhu billah, it's a very powerful lesson for us to learn. Allah Ta'ala tells us, informs us of their attitude when they said, وَإِذْ قُلْتُمْ يَا مُوسَىٰ لَن نَصْبِرَ عَلَىٰ طَعَامٍ وَاحِدٍ Allah says, remember, O believers, remember this. Why? Because it's not just history, interesting facts. This applies to us now. Remember, when you said what? Ya Musa, O Moses, we cannot endure one kind of food. SubhanAllah, instead of being grateful for what they had been given, for their freedom and how Allah Ta'ala was miraculously feeding them, instead of humbling themselves and praying, they were giving Musa alayhi salam a grocery list as if he works for them like some sort of a servant. A'udhu billah. And so they say what? فَدْعُوا لَنَا رَبَّكَ So he says, so call for us your Lord. Even the wording of it is disrespectful. It should have been what? Call our Lord for our sake. You put Allah first and put yourself second. But they put themselves first. فَدْعُوا لَنَا رَبَّكَ Your Lord, not our Lord, your Lord. SubhanAllah, the wording of it is lacking respect. But anyway, so this is the way they talk. فَدْعُوا لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُخْرِجْ لَنَا مِمَّا تُنْبِتُ الْأَرْضِ مِنْ بَقْلِهَا وَقِثَّائِهَا وَفُومِهَا وَعَدَسِهَا وَبَصَلِهَا So call upon your Lord, call for us your Lord, even in English it's awkward to say, to bring forth for us from the earth its green herbs and its cucumbers, its garlic, its lentils, and its onions. So why? Why are they making this list of foods that they want? Because these are the foods that were in Egypt. And this is demonstrating, they're showing that they actually miss their enslavement. They miss their old life. Their hearts are still attached to their old ways. Why would they miss the tyranny of Fir'aun and hate the desert? Because they're not used to freedom. They don't know what to do with it. Freedom means that you have the responsibility to choose from an infinite number of possibilities, which can be terrifying. Because now you're responsible. The moment you're free, what are you going to do? So many possibilities. You're responsible. You're going to be held accountable. They didn't like that. So they started to reminisce and think back. Oh, remember the days back when we were in Egypt. Those were simpler times. Yeah, we were treated terribly, but at least I knew what my schedule was. I knew exactly what I had to do. So what is the lesson here? Sometimes your evil habits, our kind of like a tyrant ruler that rules over us. You become addicted to something. It becomes like a little Fir'aun that's controlling your life. And these evil habits, they take a toll on your life. And you quickly realize that this needs to stop. I need to get out of this. I need to get away from this Fir'aun. I need to cut off these evil habits. So you know this is true. You want to get away. So what do? You stop doing that evil. You've escaped your Fir'aun. But here's the question. Now that you've dropped your evil habits, does that mean you'll automatically have a full schedule of enjoyable and engaging good activities to keep you busy? No, that's the problem. You're not used to doing any sort of good. You're used to your bad schedule. You know your bad schedule must stop. You know your bad habits must stop. You cut them off, but now your schedule's free and open and you just don't know what to do with it. So where are you? You're basically stuck in no man's land. Or perhaps we could say it this way. In other words, you're in the desert. Just like Bani Israel, stuck in the desert, not knowing what to do next. So the question I ask all of you is, with this new year, can you handle being in the desert, being in no man's land, cutting off your old habits, having a whole fresh schedule, new free time? Can you handle that and take on the task of finding the promised land, quote unquote? Meaning what? That developing new habits, starting from the beginning, becoming a beginner once again, doing something new and building yourself up day by day, slowly but surely. Yes, it's a rough journey. It's slow. It's boring. It can be depressing. It can be painful. Most people want to quit. Most people just want to go back to their old habits, go back to the familiarity of haram, of evil, of the addictive sins. Why? Because I don't know what else to do. It's too challenging. I've seen this countless times, unfortunately. Just as a quick example to really hopefully clarify what I'm talking about. Young man comes up to me. This happened many times. I'm not picking on anybody in particular, but I've seen this many times. Young man comes up to me and says, what? I'm tired of living a haram life. I want to be better. I want to change. He knows that he's enslaved to the tyranny of sin, this little Fir'aun over his life, which is like this wicked tyrant and is controlling him. He knows he's got to stop. It's taking its toll. So he says, I've decided to stop, but I don't know what to do with myself. He's in the desert. I'm stuck. I don't know what to do next. And so I try to give him some advice. Try A and try B and try C. Here, come on. I give him some. Here's a game plan. And he tries them. But it's hard work. Plus, it's unfamiliar territory. And so the old ways start calling him back. Brothers and sisters, do we have the ability to get through that desert? Or are we going to be just like Bani Israel, who start to miss the old ways just because they're familiar, not because they're good, not because they're beneficial? You know that they're evil, but they're familiar. And so you stick with that. When you know you can't continue the evil addiction, but you don't know where to go next, you sometimes go back to where you just left just because it's familiar territory. How many of us, unfortunately, we say, oh, summertime's coming. When I have free time, I'm going to do so much good. And then you find, subhanAllah, with all that free time, instead of picking up the Qur'an like you said you would, instead of coming to the masjid like you said you would, instead of involving yourself in durus and classes and learning, you fall back into evil habits. Why? Because it's familiar. Same thing with money. Some people, oh, ya Allah, if only I could be given so much wealth. SubhanAllah, when that money comes, how do you spend it? How does it occupy your time? For many of us, our routines are less about what's best for us and more about what's comfortable, easy, and familiar. Even if you're uncertain of how you want to improve, just try something new. Be comfortable being uncomfortable. You have to get used to being out of your comfort zone. You're a student for life. This idea that I was a student for a couple of years and then finally I graduated, I have my speciality, and that's it, I'm never going to be a student again, this is the most dangerous attitude. You stick to what's familiar and you ignore everything else. Maybe your life is rotting in so many different departments, but that's okay because that's unfamiliar territory. I don't want to start at the bottom and build myself up. No, I'll just stick to what is easy, what I know I'm good at, and what I'm familiar. Yes, it's going to take time to build new habits and to get rid of old habits, to refill your schedule this year, inshallah ta'ala, with good habits. It will take a long period of time, but I want to finish with one final point, inshallah ta'ala, that I think is truly remarkable. When you pay attention to what Bani Israel were asking for, what was in Misr, what was in Egypt that they were missing, what do they say? Green herbs, cucumber, garlic, lentils, onions. You can Google this stuff and find out how long it takes to grow each of these. SubhanAllah, very short, quick. You plant it, herbs, 14 to 60 days later, you'll get what you want. Cucumbers, 50 to 70 days. Garlic, 8 to 9 months of, you know, harvesting and growth. Lentils, about 110 days. Onions, 100 to 120 days. These are the results that I found. Basically, they're all basically relatively quick. You plant it and you get results quickly. But this is short-term benefit. SubhanAllah, let's pay attention instead to the type of things that Allah Ta'ala describes in paradise. Allah Ta'ala describes grapes, olives, figs, pomegranates, and dates. Why these particular? SubhanAllah, this is the SubhanAllah detail of Quran. This is how you know this is from Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. How long does it take to develop and harvest grapes? About 3 years. SubhanAllah. Olives, 3 years. Figs, 8 to 10 years. Pomegranates, 3 years. Dates, 4 to 8 years. SubhanAllah. What is this teaching you? This is the incredible, miraculous nature of the Quran. So much detail. And it's teaching you a very valuable lesson. If you really want the fruits of paradise, you have to be able to work through it patiently and diligently. You have to not be the type of person that says, "Yeah, Sheikh, I want to improve. Okay, try this. I tried for 5 minutes and I got bored. Never mind, I'm going to go back to my old ways." This is how most people are. Instant gratification. Tell me one thing I need to say or do that will fix me up in 1 second. Or they bring their child. Here's my child. 20 years he's been messed up. Can you just say one word, press the button, and fix him like that? SubhanAllah, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? This doesn't work like that. It's not how the world works. So SubhanAllah, we have to get comfortable and start learning that we don't want to fall down the path of maghdubi alayhim, those who Allah Ta'ala's anger is upon. We don't want to be like them. In fact, 17 times a day, we're asking Allah Ta'ala to not fall down this path. Why? Is it because of some personal vendetta we have against them? No, it's because we recognize that we might follow their footsteps. It's very appealing. It's very easy. It's very possible to go down their path. And so in that exact same way, Allah Ta'ala, what? He teaches us these lessons throughout the Qur'an. That these were the people before you. These were the missteps. These were the pitfalls. This is where they went astray. So you need to learn to be different. Yes, it's a long journey, but work on yourself and be diligent in the process. So yes, to let everybody know, today is the 7th of Muharram, and so that means that the 9th and the 10th will be this Sunday and this Monday, inshallah ta'ala. Sunday will be the 9th of Muharram, and Monday will be the 10th of Muharram. I ask Allah ta'ala to make us of those who can fast on those days. I ask Allah ta'ala to make us of those who can pay attention to the details of the Qur'an and learn. I ask Allah ta'ala to make us of those who can appreciate and learn from the lesson of Musa alayhi salam, to have the tawakkul of Musa alayhi salam, to fast like the believers do. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who can learn these lessons and apply the best of it. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen.